All right, thanks, Marcy. Thanks, worship team. You know, throughout this re-entry, there's been a lot of figuring things out. And one of the things we thought is we want to continue the worship atmosphere that has been created out there, that the Spirit is moving, and how do we bring that in here? And so we're trying some different things. So just want to let you know that we're just trying to be creative, trying to follow the Spirit, and wanting to enjoy His presence. So good morning. Good morning, Catalyst. Glad to see you all here today. We have some special guests here. Mike and Trish Hyodo are here from Seattle and from Kenya, and glad to have you guys here this morning. It's been an interesting year and a half. It's been an interesting time of just kind of moving and kind of flowing with how the Spirit is moving. Wow, there's a lot of feedback here. How the Spirit is moving, how the government is moving, how just this virus is moving, and it's been a challenge. But you know, I want to ask you a question. How have you grown in the past year and a half that we've been quarantined from each other? What are some things that the Lord has shown you? What are some things that you have experienced in the past year and a half? And those are questions that I've been asking myself, because I don't want to come back. I didn't want to come back saying this past year and a half was wasted. I did absolutely nothing. I stayed in my house. I stayed safe. I didn't get sick. I didn't want this. I didn't do this. I didn't do this. And I'm just going to pick up where I left off from last March. And there's no way that I wanted to go to the Lord, to stand before the Lord and said, I did nothing in the past year and a half. And so my hope for our church is that we have that same mentality, and it's not a striving thing. It's not like I got to make something, you know, I got to make something up, or I got to figure. It's this whole thing of just interacting with Jesus every day, interacting with the Lord every day, reading His Word, seeing what He has to say to us, and then following what He wants us to do every single day. You know, for me, when I look back at the past year and a half, I feel like I've learned more about God. I've learned about my relationship with Him. He's actually had me go deeper into certain things, do some introspection, kind of figuring out, why do I do that? Why do I feel that way? Why do I think that? And it's just been this interesting time. I've actually enjoyed my time with the Lord, because things have had to be cut off. And things that I would normally do, I wasn't doing anymore. And so it was just this interesting time of growing and experiencing more and more of God. My hope and my prayer is that we would grow together as a church family. It's not just one or two people here or few people here or there, but with our small groups and in our ministries, that we would encourage and inspire one another and pray for each other, that we can grow. You know, one of the things too that I've had to deal with, and I think a lot of us, it's our mortality, because this virus can be pretty deadly. And so I've had to ask myself questions like, what would happen if I got really sick? What would happen if I passed away? And, you know, just having to deal with that really puts things into perspective of, where is my faith in God? Who am I putting my faith in? Am I trusting only doctors and scientists and the data and medicine? Or is my ultimate faith and trust, is it in the Lord? That He is watching over me. He is caring for me. He is going to be there whenever I need Him. Kind of wrestling with those kind of questions. And I tell you, sometimes it's not fun, but sometimes it's really good, because it brings up a lot of things. When the rubber meets the road, where's your faith going to be? And so this series that Pastor Barry had come up with, The Real Words of Jesus, has been really good too. You know, hearing him speak about, you know, not to worry, and then having Lauren speak about the treasure, in the finding the treasure in the field. And it's like, wow, this is so good, because these are the real words of Jesus. This is what Jesus is saying to us. And how do we put that into perspective for today? So today, I am going to be speaking about Jesus calling himself the gate and the good shepherd. And this is found in John 10. And we're going to go from 7 to verse 15. And what does Jesus mean when he calls himself the gate and when he calls himself the good shepherd, and how that should impact our lives every day? So let's pray before we get started. Yeah, let's connect with the good shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. You are so good. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving in this place right now. You're stirring in this room right now, that we as your children can sense your presence here. God, that we want to come to you with open hearts this morning. We don't want to come with hard hearts, hearts that are like packed like cement or hard dirt, but we want to come with soft dirt, so that whatever seeds you want to plant in us, whatever truths you want to plant, that we would receive it and we would let it take root and grow. We will let those roots go deep inside of us. So, Lord God, we come this morning to worship you, to bless you, to minister to you. And in your goodness, you always have something for us. You always give something to us. So we're just so grateful to be here this morning. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, in this passage, John 10, verse 7 through 15, Jesus refers to his followers as sheep. And it's kind of like, well, okay, why sheep? Why not donkeys? Why not chickens? Why not something else, right? And so it's kind of like, I kind of want to learn more about sheep. I don't know anything about sheep, except I heard someone say a long time ago that they're dumb. So I'm like, okay, well, let's find out more about sheep. I found out that sheep are actually not dumb. Or at least as dumb as we think they are, okay? So here's some characteristics of sheep, and I think you'll be amused. And as I share these things, I want you to kind of hold it up to yourself and go, not necessarily like finger pointing, like, hey, you're like that, but to kind of see like, oh, okay, now I can see why Jesus called a sheep. So anyway, the first one is sheep get lost easily, okay? That's me. I get lost easily, and when sheep are grazing, individual ones can easily wander off and become separated from the rest of the flock. Once they wander off, they aren't very good at finding their way back. Yeah, that's me. Without sharp teeth, claws, and horns, sheep are defenseless by themselves, so the shepherd must search for the lost ones or risk losing them to predators. Okay, so the first characteristic is sheep get lost pretty easily. Another one is sheep need to be sheared for their own good. The wool of the sheep may get too thick and in need for a shear to bring them relief in the hot or warm weather. Okay, you know, they have the wool, and shearing means to cut it off, right? Pruning. The thick wool can also become too heavy for the sheep and cause it to tip over and cause it to lie down on its back. This position is referred to as cast down, with the sheep lying on its back and its legs flailing helplessly in the air. Sounds funny, but if the shepherd doesn't help the sheep get back on its feet, the sheep can suffocate in this cast down position. Okay, so the sheep, you know, if their wool gets too, boom, they fall over there like this. If they're there too long, they can actually die. Yeah, sad, very sad. Okay, here's another one. Sheep will remain dirty until someone else cleans them. I didn't know that. They don't take showers, I guess. The sheep produces an oil called lanolin, which comes from the skin and coats the wool. While this oil helps the wool keep the sheep warm in the winter, it is like a dirt magnet. And anything the sheep lies on will cling to the wool. If left unkept, the sheep can get infections and disease if not cleaned. Okay, so the sheep gets all dirty, all this stuff, and then mud and feces and all kind of things, and the shepherd needs to come in on a somewhat regular basis to clean them off. They cannot do it themselves. Does it sound familiar? Sheep move in flocks. When one sheep moves, the others will follow without thinking. Okay? It's not a matter of intelligence. It's a flocking and following instinct they are born with. That instinct is so strong that in eastern Turkey in 2006, a flock of 400 sheep plunged to their death after one tried to cross a 50-foot deep ravine. After the first one fell in, the other 399 followed suit, and the whole flock was lost. So the sheep, okay, maybe this way you go, okay, they're not that smart. But that is part of their instinct is, I guess if there's one that leads, everyone else just kind of follows without really thinking about anything and just without trying to figure things out or is this the right thing to do or anything. They just follow. And 399 of them followed that one to its death in Turkey. So as I was going over these characteristics, I was like, yeah, I can see a lot of me in the sheep. Like, wow, yeah, I do that, and I can do that, and I could easily just go along with everybody else, and I could do that as long as I, you know, don't cause distraction, don't following along and just doing what the sheep and all the things that the sheep needs, it's no wonder that they need a shepherd. It's no wonder that we need a shepherd, that we need someone to help us come along because we weren't able to clean ourselves, right? That's why we needed Jesus in the first place. We were so in our sin. We were sinners. That was our identity. And Jesus came and cleaned us up. Jesus comes and he prunes us, right? He goes, no, this part is not good for you. Let me prune that off. And you know, with the sheep, I heard that it sometimes it hurts for them to be sheared, but it's for their good. For us too, when God prunes us, yeah, there are times that it doesn't feel good, but yet it's for our own good. And who are we following? Are we following Jesus, or are we following another sheep? Are we following something else? And so these are things that we need to consider, we need to think about as we go through our lives and figuring out who are we following, what are we doing with our lives. Now, the passage that we're going to read, Jesus gave two pictures for us. The first one is the gate, and the second one is the good shepherd. And in the good shepherd, when we talk about that, I'm actually going to give two characteristics of the good shepherd that comes out from this passage. So the first one is, Jesus says, I am the gate, which is salvation and life. So John 10, verse 7 through 10. Verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so Jesus is talking about he is the gate. Can we have the picture of the pen? This is what a picture of the pen probably would have looked like back then. It was mostly stone, and they just pile it on top, and then they have one opening for the pen. Pretty obvious why, because they don't want to have multiple exits for the sheep to run out of, so they have one opening. Now, the shepherd would come, and he would stand around here. He would stand or sit or lie down in front of that opening in the middle of through the night, because they didn't want anyone to come in and try to steal, like he's doing right there, They didn't want someone to come in and steal. They didn't want sheep to run out. And so the shepherd would be there to make sure whoever stayed in was supposed to stay in, and whoever stayed out was supposed to stay out. The shepherd was guarding that pen, the fold, so that no sheep would get stolen or eaten or taken away. And so Jesus is saying in this, I am the gate. For my sheep, I am the gate. And how this relates to us is that spiritually, he is the gate to heaven. There is no other way we can get to heaven. You guys know this. There's no other way that we can get to heaven except through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is the gate, and he provides a way for all of us to come in and receive and go into through the gates of heaven so that they can interact with God and experience heaven. Now, Jesus also said that I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. It's not just, okay, they have life and everything, and but, you know, continue doing your thing, whatever you want to do. Jesus is saying, no, I want to come into your life now. Not just when you die and go to heaven, but I want you to have life to the full right now. That is the kingdom perspective. Right? I think a lot of us, I know for me, when someone shared the gospel with me, it was about when you die and you go to heaven. So then I was, 18 at the time, not really thinking about death, not really thinking about, so it's kind of like, okay, maybe in 60 years or something, I'll do it. And so in the beginning, I didn't receive Christ. I was like, I don't think I need him. But what we've been learning is that God wants to come into our lives today. He wants us to experience heaven today. He wants us to experience his kingdom today. And I tell you, a lot of times when we go through and we're experiencing more and more of the kingdom, it doesn't make sense compared to what the world is saying, what the culture is saying. Everything is kind of flipped upside down, and it's like, wait a minute, to be first, you need to be last. How does that work out? That doesn't make sense. If you want to save your life, you need to lose it for Jesus. How does that, I don't understand. There's so many things. Loving your enemies. What? Loving your enemies? No, I want to punch them in the face. I don't want to give them my cloak or go an extra mile. I don't want to do that. For someone who is attacking me, someone who doesn't like me or doesn't love me, God, Jesus is saying, love them? That doesn't make sense. But when you have the kingdom perspective that Jesus wants to live through us and do these things through us, then it all changes. And that's a part of entering that gate, that when we enter that gate, we can get that perspective and realize this is how God wants us to live from the very beginning. I think Pastor Peter was talking about the Garden of Eden at some point in his mind. I've heard him so many times already. But from the very beginning, that was the rules. That was the truth. That was the principles of the kingdom of heaven. And yet we've let the world and the culture and all flip everything upside down. So now it's like what God says, what the Bible says, not sure what that means. But Jesus saying, come to the gate. I'll let you in. You get to experience heaven one day, but you get to experience heaven on earth now. If you come with soft hearts, you can experience that kingdom right now. And the miracles and all the things that come along with the kingdom, you get to experience that today. And that's the blessing of Jesus saying, I am the gate. It's not just, hey, he's just a gate and we get to go in. No. Every day we get to experience life to the fullest. You know, a lot of times there's other kinds of gates that come in and want to steal our attention, our affection. Let's say no to those things. Those things may be shiny and new, but those things, let's call those things what they are. They're idols. And we don't want to let those idols take Jesus, those things, take Jesus' place. Well, we're not really going to let him. He's the king. He's on the throne. But we don't want to attribute God's, we don't want to attribute his kingship to other things. Because nothing on earth, nothing, no one on earth can fulfill us the way that God does. Anything else, we're always going to be left wanting more. Everything else is going to be lead to us wanting more and leading us astray. And so we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. He is the gate. Enter in. Realize that we can experience the kingdom every single day and get rid of those false gates. Get rid of those false things that say, oh yeah, you can experience this. You can experience fulfillment. You can experience. No. Only through Jesus. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and man. You cannot serve both God and stuff. No. There's only one. There's only one. Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus is the gate. He said, I am the gate. Next one is, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And as we read verses 11 through 13, we can see Jesus is a protector. He's a protector of his sheep. It says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. You know, whether the sheep are in the pasture or in the fold, they are always in danger of being attacked. Thieves, robbers, predators, wolves coming in and stealing them. And the shepherd has to be on his toes 24/7. It's like having, like if you have 100 sheep, it's like having 100 one-year-olds, like kids. And then it's like you can't just take your eyes off them even for a second because they just go all over the place. Right? You guys remember when you had kids that were that young? I mean, could you sleep? I mean, could you have a peaceful sleep? Could you had to watch your kids a lot. But can you imagine the shepherd having a one-year-old that never grows up? So they just have 100 one-year-olds all the time. And they just have to continually watch, care for. Oh, that one's flipped over again. Okay, got to flip them up. Come on, get up. Okay. Oh, this one needs a shave. I got to shave him. Oh, hey, stop following. Come back. You have to just be on your toes. And then, of course, they're the robbers and thieves that want to steal your sheep from you. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I'm going to protect you. I'm watching over you. You know, David, before he became King David, before he fought Goliath, he actually had this passage talking about what he's had to do as a shepherd. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 36, 34 to 36, David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And so David is saying, hey, this is what I had to do as a shepherd. I had to take care of my father's sheep. I had to fight these guys. And, you know, part of me is like, wow, a bear and a lion versus, like, Goliath. I don't know which one's more scarier. I mean, I can imagine fighting a bear and a lion being pretty scary. In fact, I just read this morning that there was a mom in Calabasas who fought off a mountain lion who was taking her child away. She was in the kitchen, and then all of a sudden she heard her 5-year-old son yell for help. She looked out, and she saw the mountain lion. It was a 65-pound mountain lion, so I don't think it was super big. But still, it was attacking, and it was dragging the child away. I think it dragged the child like 45 yards. And so she ran out there. Moms, you guys, super moms. She ran out there. No gun, no tools, nothing. She just started punching and hitting the mountain lion until the mountain lion took off. And the child had a few injuries, minor injuries. But the mom just went crazy and just attacked that mountain lion. That's what the shepherds had to do. They had to take care of their sheep, fight off people, fight off animals to protect their sheep. And not only that, they had to care for them. So anything that the sheep got, any disease, any, you know, their little, I don't know what you call them, hooves are getting long. They had to kind of cut them. They had to put ointment on their eyes and stuff so the bugs wouldn't kind of get in there and blind them. They had to take care of the sheep more than just, okay, here you go, here's food, and then get in your pen, and then now let's go, okay. They had to watch them continuously and pour into their sheep to protect them from these people, animals, disease, all that. They had to take care of them. Jesus does that for us. Jesus does that for us. You know, when you read scripture, you know, it's good to understand the passage, but then it's also good to just go like a little bit before and a little bit after, just to kind of get a little bit more of the context of what was happening. And so I was reading John 9 and asking the Lord, okay, what does this have to do with what's happening here? And in John 9, Jesus healed a man that was blind from birth. And so he did it on the Sabbath. Ooh, not good. He did it on the Sabbath. It's the one where he spit and then he made mud and he put on the guy's eyes and then, okay, go wash. So the Pharisees got a hold of this. They heard. So they got the guy and they said, okay, what happened here? How did you get healed? So the guy's like, I don't know. But I think the guy that healed me, I think is a prophet. So then the Pharisees go to his parents. They want to get more information. And of course, they're the enemies, right? They don't like Jesus. They're trying to condemn him. They're trying to find some kind of judgment against Jesus. So they're trying to trap him. They're trying to turn the people away from Jesus. So they're like, okay, let's ask your parents. So they ask the parents, okay, so what happened? Is this your son? And how does he have his sight now? And the parents, oh man, that's so awesome. They stood up for him, right? They stood up and said, no, this is my kid. No. They threw their son under the bus. They said, I don't know. He's of age. So wouldn't you ask him? They were afraid of the Pharisees. They were afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue. So they go, ask the guy. He's a man. Ask him. So they go back to the man. So what happened? So there's this whole dialogue that happens, and it's actually pretty funny. So I think I'll read it to you. So a second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, well, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why? Do you want to hear it again? Do you want to be his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this, they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out of the synagogue. And so they kicked him out because they didn't get the answer that they wanted. They didn't get the explanation that they wanted. Now, this is where Jesus comes in. This is the part that I thought was so awesome. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he had found him, when I read that word found, it was like Jesus put spotlights on that word. And I was like, oh my gosh. It says he found him because Jesus had been looking for him. Jesus knew this man's situation. He knew that he could get kicked out of the synagogue. And so Jesus, having the compassion of a shepherd, went after the lost sheep and went up to him and had this interaction, revealed himself as the Messiah. And so the man saw, oh my God, you're the Messiah, and he worshiped him. That's the kind of God we have. Where even if you're just the one, God will go after you. God will go after you with compassion, with empathy, going after you, seeing the things that you've gone through, seeing all the hardships, seeing the challenges that you're facing, and he will go after you. And he says, I'm the Messiah. Fix your eyes on me. And we turn to this place of worship and adoration and thankfulness, even in the midst of whatever we're going through. When we turn our eyes to Jesus, we get the perspective that we should be having. We get a kingdom perspective of how we should be living. And so when I was reading that chapter, I was like, oh my gosh, Jesus, is that what you were doing? Is that what you were doing? Protecting, caring for your lost sheep, your sheep. I just love that. And so as Jesus, he's the gate, he is a good shepherd, the protector, and he's a good shepherd that desires intimacy with us, closeness with us. And let's look at verses 14 to 15. It says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as a father knows me and I know the father, I lay my life down for the sheep. That was another, whoa. When I saw that and it says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me just as I know my father and he knows me. To me, what that's saying is we have the invitation to have that same kind of intimacy that Jesus has with his Father, we can have that with Jesus. And that just blew me away because I'm like, oh man, Jesus and his relationship with the Father is so intimate, so close, and we have the possibility, the capability, the invitation to enter in that kind of relationship with Jesus. I was like, oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. You know, in verse 4 of the same chapter, we didn't talk about that, but in verse 4, Jesus says, talking about the sheep and the shepherd, he says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. That's intimacy. That's closeness. When a sheep can recognize the shepherd's voice. When we as sheep, as we learn to hear and recognize Jesus' voice, that's us growing in intimacy. You know, I want to show a video right now, and I was kind of struggling because I'm like, okay, maybe I should show it earlier and stuff, but it's a story about a shepherd, all these people trying to call these sheep, and then at the very end they show you what happens when the shepherd calls them. And I'll let you watch it. I'll let you watch it first before I say anything else. Thanks, Damon. When I first saw this video, I started to get emotional. Not because of the sheep and the shepherd. I mean, I thought that was kind of cool. But I could see with my spiritual eyes the people of God hearing Jesus' voice and responding. I could see the people of God when the enemy's calling, they, no, not going to listen, not going to listen. But when the shepherd, the good shepherd calls, that, what are you saying? Okay, I see the shepherd, let's go. Running to Jesus. And that to me, it was just like, that's a show of intimacy with God that we want to have with him. Psalm 23, 1 through 4. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's David's psalm, his song about God and how he shepherds David. You know, when my mom was fighting cancer, I may have shared this story with you guys, so too bad. that she was suffering, and so I thought, okay, when I go visit her, I'll play some worship music. I'll bring my guitar and play some stuff. And so this one time I remember I was playing and we could feel the presence come. And Ida and I were just like, oh my gosh. And my mom was just lying in bed and, oh man. And my mom, she's not one to like see things and stuff. It's like, hey, whatever I can see, black and white, whatever's here, that's what I believe in. So I was like, okay. So we're playing and stuff, and we finished. And then I asked her like, oh, so how was that for you? And she didn't say anything for a second. And then she said, I saw Jesus. I was like, what? You saw Jesus? Wow, okay, for you to admit that, okay. What was he doing? She goes, he was standing on the foot of the bed. And then I asked, did he say anything to you? Did he do anything? And she said, he said, it's going to be okay. And that's what she got. And, you know, I don't know, a few weeks or months later, she passed away. But that is something I'm going to remember for the rest of my life, about how God showed himself to my mom, even when she was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that she saw his rod and his staff. She saw him. She saw the shepherd walking with her, protecting her, caring for her, that intimacy, saying to her at the end of her life, it's going to be okay. That's the kind of God we have. And when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, that's what he does. He shepherds us, his sheep, to take care of us, to protect us. He is the gate who says, come in and experience heaven and experience life like you never have before. That's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of God that I encourage us all to worship and to love and to pour and to spend our lives on, because he is worthy of all of that. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Worship team, come on up. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us, for giving us pictures of who you are so that we can understand our relationship with you better. We can understand you better. Thank you that you love us so much, that you created a way for us to get into heaven and to experience the Father, to experience life to the fullest, to know that wherever we go and whatever you're doing, you're watching over us and caring for us, that you are listening to us, that you hear our voices and that we hear yours, and that we can follow you with all certainty that you will lead us into green pastures and still waters. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So we just want to bless you and worship you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.